Hello and welcome to the Personal Development Podcast. This podcast is part of the Personal Development Project, a student set up and run initiative seeking to bring you on the journey of finding ourselves and our path. Currently in the midst of internship season, we discussed finding a direction, passions, slowing down and saying no, as well as feeling behind in life from the perspective of career development. Enjoy. I'm joined with Finn and Dardan. So if you just take a second to introduce yourselves and maybe a bit about what you're doing and how you met me.
So yeah, I'm Finn. I'm currently in the final year of my master's, a part-time master's studying international development. I met Eunice through Bristol Futures. I work as Bristol Futures student advocates, which has been over the last sort of 2 years now. And that's where we got talking about, well, where Eunice, you know, developed this podcast and platform. So I am still a Bristol Futures student advocate, but I'm also a part-time mental health support worker.
Yeah. And I remember sort of hearing that you were doing part-time work. I was quite interested and I got you down to Hawthorne's to have a chat because it wasn't something I knew was an option until you said, and when you explained sort of I'm sort of doing this part-time because I do enjoy the studying, but I want it to be one of the many things I'm able to do at my time at uni. I think that's what sparked the inspiration for this episode. But then Dardan.
My name's Dardan and I'm currently studying aerospace engineering and I'm in my third year. And the way I met Eunice was I was actually in China. We went on a program called Go China through Bristol University. And we got chatting and he's mentioned that he had a podcast at one moment. And the more we knew each other, the more he realized I enjoyed talking about things in general. So we ended up here. And I'm very excited to get going.
I think maybe then a good place to sort of set the tone and add some context is if we laugh at my naiveties a bit. So I told both of you there's sort of a funny story to kick things off with. And this was around exam period last year. And I was stressed. And one of my mates, Sam, suggested we go and get dinner together. And we were talking sort of about where we wanted to take our futures and careers. And he said, almost just because he's been quite academic and quite privileged, that he saw going into banking as his natural progression. And I went off on one. And I was sort of saying, like, obviously I don't know how things are going to pan out for you, but I remember actually saying, but I'm certain that you're not going to get like long-term fulfillment out of a career like that. You're not going to be able to prioritize your hobbies and family and all of that sort of stuff. And at one point I remember focusing on sort of the family side of it and saying how you don't want to be in this situation 10 years down the line when you're sending your children off to uni and you're wondering where their childhood went. And I remember seeing his face change and I was thinking sort of, have I struck a nerve here? Is there something that he hasn't considered? And after saying that, he was sort of just like, you know, so you have taken the most cynical possible outlook on this. And I think that sort of just reminded me, you can get carried away in stuff like this. Obviously, when we're looking to career development, it's a huge consideration for a lot of people and it puts a lot of pressure on us. So I think that's just a reminder to myself and maybe to listeners to take everything that we say with a pinch of salt. One of the things Sam was saying is that he thinks socioeconomic status plays a huge role in it. And that was something I didn't consider. Myself, so far, I've been looking up to my mum, who's struggled sort of providing for both children on her own. And that means my view of careers, what I'm primed to, what I'm hoping to avoid will be completely different maybe to yours, Finn, and yours, Dardan. So I think maybe just acknowledging that I'm going to say some stuff you guys don't agree with. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll, hopefully you'll do the same. It'll spur some good chat. It's a good initial reminder. But moving forwards, we're saying it's internship season at the moment, which means I'm already behind in applications. Need to sort out my CV. I had just a little discussion that I wanted to have about internships. Maybe if we kick off, Dardan, your experiences so far.
Yeah,
How you're approaching that.
So, being third year as an engineer, you know, that's the key year to get your internship. So, currently, I am applying in the process, like you said, it's internship season. But the second year, I knew that it wasn't critical to get one, so I almost used it as a free pass. I'd try my best at it, you know, develop my CV. I didn't want to waste the opportunity to go through that cycle. So I can say that from all the attempts last year and many failures, of course, that's a part of the process, you know, I've become better prepared this year. Because last year, I started with near enough no actual, you know, proper engineering CV. And then literally application by application, I was learning new things. You know, I was giving it to as many people as possible and sort of just building it up to this current year. And I did manage to get a couple of interviews last year, which I was very pleased about. And they also, you know, provided a lot of experience. Mistakes were made, of course. But, you know, you grow from those and you just, I think the best thing to do if you're, especially in engineering where that third year is the more time that you're ready to get one, is use that second year to really prepare yourself, understand the application process. And then coming into third year, it seems like you're just doing it again. You know, I'm not as worried about, you know, what the process is going to be like. And, you know, I've been to an interview now, so I've got that little banker in as well. And, yeah, I mean, cautiously optimistic, but, you know, you just need to smash it out as much as you can. And you know, I guess it's that balance of you want to go ahead and sort of apply for as many things as you can to give yourself the best chances, but then you need to really ask yourself as well, if I got this, would I even enjoy it? And then I think once you're asking that question, you're probably not going to get a position that you're wondering, do you even want it in the first place? And then why waste your time on applying for something which, if you don't want it, you're definitely not going to get it. And then, you know, redirect that energy into something which could be more productive for yourself, I guess.
Okay, that's quite interesting, because I'd say I sort of view things quite similarly. I think it is worth pointing out that, like, a lot of engineers, we're on integrated masters, so it's a four-year course. So we are afforded that extra year to search for internships. But I definitely ran into things, perhaps like you, sort of thinking, just apply, CV, sort of careers workshop here, there and everywhere. And got a bit lost in the process. We'll have time to get back to me later, but Finn, have you gone through similar, seen people go through similar yourself? Because I know you're on an arts degree.
Yeah, my kind of outlook towards internships has kind of flipped over my time at university, where I think I've, you know, just experienced a lot of similarity with you there and what you're talking about to myself back when I was in second year, actually, because I did geography in second year. So I very much remember going into it kind of just trying to apply, going for different internships to really grab hold of something to, you know, lift up my CV as every year that was going by, to then, you know, towards that end goal for me at that point in second year was where I'm going to be in third year. But I think having then moved towards, well, continuing studying based on something that I found to be really interesting, and I wanted to take the opportunity to spend more time studying it when, you know, I didn't get as much time to do that during my degree. I now sort of see internships to be part and parcel with everything else that you can kind of utilize and get hold of whilst you're a student, which is just like experiences that can lift up your employability in terms of, you know, just general work experience, and to then volunteering. And I think now, it becomes more of a question of where and what, you know, as you were saying, why am I applying for this internship, which I have more of a precaution to do, having now had to spend a bit more time thinking about what I'm really interested in and what difference I kind of want to make, or what how I want to use my degree, which just means that I'm more thinking about an internship as such as will it for who why would I want to do it? Because I did do quite a shocking internship in my second year where I spent, well, it wasn't shocking, but I did spend a lot of time doing work that at the time I thought was really important, such as maybe cutting up lunchtime tickets for this organization for their conference over a series of days, which left me with nothing really to talk about. And I think that came out as a result of me applying for an internship and taking an internship that I thought, you know, taking it by name rather than by the nature of what I'd be doing. And,
I think it's really interesting you sort of saying applying for an internship for who?
Yeah.
Because I've sort of passively seen that change from even GCSE year. I remember after GCSE year, the school was sort of saying it'd be great for you guys to get some work experience. And maybe that was the first time in a long time I sat there and I thought, what am I genuinely interested in? And what would be cool to go out there and try and do? And at that stage when it was, if you want, the very start of your career, there was almost no trajectory, no background, no context, I found myself able to sort of think, all right, Eunice, what do you want to do? And I ended up doing work experience in law at a barrister's firm. And I loved it, but it told me, okay, this wasn't for me. And I think that expectation is almost transferred to internships. But I think we've lost the case of, let me use this internship as a case as an opportunity to collect data and to see if this job or this career is for me. When you have these sorts of, we are looking for a student, the stereotypical one is, I knew from the age of 5 when I was playing with my Lego bricks that I wanted to work for you, Airbus, this and that. And you find yourself almost growing into what you think a prospective employer would want and taking opportunities. We'll get onto the CV to bolster your CV based on what you think someone else would appreciate seeing. And the focus comes, is taken away from you, maybe Finn, and what you want to do. Because I think it's interesting coming from the art side of things, where there's less maybe of a prescriptive route into things. So maybe you are inclined to do that a bit more because there's more, well, it seems like there's more options open to you by there being less of a defined path.
I'd agree with that in terms of there is a broad range. I think for geography particularly, it's kind of people kind of interest about teaching being the next option. And most students, a lot of people in my course, everyone spoke of, oh, no, don't want to do teaching, don't want to do that. And then it's kind of from there, there are a lot of, there's a real broadness in terms of what you can apply for. And then within that, then you have those kind of internships which are looking for you to commit to a summer and then, you know, potentially work towards that. Final getting that job, which a lot of people do, and I think that can be a great route for you if you feel like that path kind of ties to your passions and what you want to get out of work. But I think for me, as what you were saying with second year, I kind of really didn't know any of that. I didn't really understand, you know, what I was passionate about. I had like vague ideas, and I would kind of just, but I knew like throughout my time, I needed to be applying for something. And I think the two create a bit of disconnect between myself and then kind of where I wanted to be in the working world. And it was not until towards the end of my final year where I actually realized I have a bit of a passion for a general field of study, that it then kind of flipped my perspective, and I sort of prioritized thinking about more, you know, what will that internship entail, and for who and for what, and will it, you know, reflect what I want to achieve in terms of working towards my passions and kind of the sort of direction moving forward out of university. And I think
really have quite agree with what you were saying there. And I think it becomes, for me, a bit of a change of seeing that actually university and life beyond is more of like, think of like a process of elimination in terms of what you, finding out more what you don't want to do.
Collecting data.
Collecting data, as you said, you're finding out, rather than being, this is what I want to do. It's kind of, I found that a very useful mindset to apply to when I'm looking at jobs.
I'm sort of in a transition phase because pretty much since about year nine, I knew engineering was the thing I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I've just been plowing down that lane for a number of years now. And that took me to last year, this time last year, for internships. And I find myself applying for internship after internship and getting telephone calls, telephone interviews, video interviews, CVs, cover letters, and pouring a whole load of time and effort into that. And I think I asked myself, okay, you do quite like this engineering thing, but is applying to these companies and pretending to be the five-year-old that knew Airbus was the one from him, what I want to be doing now? And I think there's a really important consideration there, as I was saying, Dardan, in our conversation beforehand, about not sacrificing the person you are now for the person you want to be that an engineer or any other discipline. And I think the past sort of 6-7 months is where I've been focusing so much on, okay, let me follow the direction of the person I am today. And that has gone back on the engineer I saw myself becoming. That means when I probably should be focusing on my coursework, so I have a submission due in tomorrow, I find myself here chatting to you guys in front of a microphone. How does that serve the engineer I saw myself? But I think there's definitely a balance, as you said, Dardan, be found between the two.
Definitely. Balance is everything in life. It's it's spoken about a lot, but especially with university being on an intense course like aerospace, for example, you are constantly thinking about, how am I going to get the best mark that I can? And I need to, make sure everything is perfect. And you can go on like this for weeks where you're just thinking work, work, work. And then you realize that you haven't had that balance of, looking around a bit, stop and look around, see, we're told these are some of the best years of our life. And you're locked up in a room worrying about coursework and being stressed all the time.
Yeah.
So I understand what you mean by, not sacrificing the person you are today for the person in the future. But then, of course, you do need to make that short-term sacrifice as well.
Yeah.
So that in the future you do have better chances. So it's all about balance.
Because we flipped it on its head, didn't we? Yeah. And said, it's about not sacrificing the person you are in the future for the person you are today. I'm not prepared to let go of the successful career person I could be if I put in a bit of extra effort because I want to sit around and maybe not apply myself today. But I think it's interesting you sort of talking about you want to put in the effort to get the grades. And I can relate with that so much. As I say, ploughing down this engineering path, going into first year, I talked about it actually on the article I wrote called Who Are You Being for our blog, about how I now want passion to drive me towards my successes and not success and not graft and not looking at the measurable outcomes, because I think when the measure becomes a goal, it ceases to be a good measure and it ceases to be a good goal. When it's all about getting that first, which should be a measurement of, how am I engaging with this course? How much time do I actually want to put in? I feel like you lose yourself in that. And career-wise as well, last year I lost myself in thinking, oh, that will look good in my CV. Or, oh, I'll do that because it will look good in my CV. When the CV should be a measure, a reflection of what comes naturally from you that pertains towards your career. And I think that's the difference. Is actually going to a CV workshop where they're get rid of all of the non-engineering stuff if you're applying for an engineering internship. And I thought, that's the most important stuff. Yeah. I put the podcast on there. I was talking about what I was getting. I want that to be a reflection on me. rather than a reflection of maybe what a prospective employer would like to see. I'm not sure if you guys have related to similar.
I mean, I think it is interesting that you mentioned this almost pretending, because if you're pretending, that can get you through the CV stage. Mm. You know, anyone can write something and, you know, not have to back it up. But once you're going into assessment days and interviews, they're designed to get the real you out. So if you're already pretending before you even started, I think you need to be cautious. Again, applying for what is a passion for yourself. And in that case, you don't need to pretend. You can just be yourself. And then if who you are is good for that position, then great, because you're doing something that you have passion for. If you pretend on your CV and then let's say you go to the interview and you sell yourself as someone who you aren't, you're going to be miserable in that company because they thought they're getting someone who you turned out not to be, and you're not going to be able to meet their demands, and you're going to come out after a summer or a year probably thinking, you know, great, I got into a great internship, but, you know, maybe you're a bit out of your depth, or, you know, you just struggled in it, and what did you gain from that? So, of course, you want to build yourself up and stretch the truth, I guess, with CVs as much as you can is something that happens usually. But, you know, be true to yourself would be something, you know.
You need to strike the balance and make sure you're not trying to become or portray someone you're not. Because, again, it's the same article I wrote. I remember at the end sort of writing something along the lines of, like, no one can be you better than you, but everyone can be that sort of stereotypical perfect, it seems like everyone can be that stereotypical perfect graduate who's ticked all the boxes better than you. And you find yourself sort of sitting there like, I don't have the work experience from school time. I don't have the free internships and summer placements and spring weeks. Other people do, and it's sort of, how do I stand out in that? How am I meant to get ahead, get to the top of the pile, and get where I need to go? And I don't think anyone quite has an answer for that, but for me at this moment, it's in trying to be nothing but the person I actually want to be, and it's in putting stuff like, I sit here and record episodes on career development at the top of my CV and in the middle of my CV and at the end, because that's where my passion lies. And no one else can sort of turn around and say, I did the same. But the internship at Airbus was offered to 50, 60, 70 other people.
I was just going to say, I think it's important, you say, talking about the word passion, and Darlan, what you were saying about working that kind of probably typical student outlook is about, you know, getting that grade, working, to then at the end suddenly being open to, you know, shut down to the open world. And you've got these big companies that maybe whilst you're doing all that work, you were maybe aspiring towards all this kind of big job. But perhaps you find yourself a bit deflated by the time you're applying or throughout that application process, because you've maybe taken your, you know, you've sort of amalgamated your work to get first effort with your then career outlook. And I think it's quite, for me, something that I realized in myself I was doing, and something I quite quickly needed to stop and to really kind of view my time at university as an opportunity to find and be outside of studying and find what you know could work towards it, or what could get me out to do stuff in extracurricular time. You know, what was it that made me want to go and do certain volunteering or take on certain jobs, and then that kind of helped me to be a bit more reflective over my time in terms of getting towards that end destination, but not thinking I'm now going to continue on that linear path of now's my next, where's the next, you know, the grad scheme of job, that's what is my next measurement.
Because it's interesting, I think what underpins that for a lot of people is how you view your time and how you should be spending at university, because for a lot of people university is for doing nothing that doesn't benefit your career.
Yeah.
And it's for people who have a very set out and defined career path. I remember over summer sort of speaking to one of my family friends a few years below me, and he was so incredibly stressed because he didn't know what he wanted to do going forwards. Mm. And I feel like there's a lot of people at university like that. But the message is sort of, come on, you guys have been given such a great opportunity. Go and apply yourself. You should know what you should be doing. And all of your days should be in furthering that and bettering that. And Finn, we were sort of talking about the role university actually does and should play when it comes to careers. Because university, for me, I've had to redefine that, is a place to seek stimulation and nothing else. If I want it to have a role to play in my career, definitely will. And engineering is definitely a door open there for me. But then, Finn, we were also talking about sort of the career service and the amount of... It's good for certain people, but the amount of pressure I think is put on me with constant reminders of career progression, this internship, this deadline, this summer placement, this grad scheme, stand out, be the best. And it's sort of, if I take lend it over to you, was there anything you'd sort of noticed along similar lines, sort of thinking, is this all that university is about? Should it really be this much focus on this?
Yeah, absolutely. I think... Actually, one of the most useful things that I did during my time as an undergraduate was go and have a careers meeting with one of their careers advisors. Absolutely lovely lady who, you know, really listened to everything that I said and didn't really give, wasn't very subjective on kind of whether or not it'd be the right choice to enroll into this master's, but kind of spoke to me about what's driving you. And I think that was something that really helped me see the career service in a different light as well, and to also, learn a bit more about myself. And I think a lot of students maybe aren't as aware of that kind of service that you can get from it, and kind of you can fall into the trap of just following all the kind of mainstream careers, graduate opportunities and promotion that they do. Yeah. That I think in many cases just provide a very one track narrative of where you end up wanting to be that person in the PwC hoodie, or you end up wanting to be the person in the Teach First hoodie. And I think although these people have been extremely successful and you know are doing great in pursuing their own path, I think when you're a student who's quite uncertain about things and you're sort of especially when you're getting towards the end of your time, you can see, you can feel that within yourself.
Yeah.
But you haven't quite stopped yet, or you haven't quite gathered your thoughts or, reflected on how you want to use the degree. It can be very easily done, I think, which I did myself, to fall into that kind of very large pocket of just seeing, being constantly reminded of grad schemes.
There's almost solace for the people that sort of don't know what they want to do in diving straight into that sort of thing.
Yeah.
To sort of replace what am I trying to say? A genuine inspiration to replace passion, as we were saying. It's sort of, oh, but look, I have got X, Y, and Z, and I have got this direction.
Yeah.
And I am going to stop talking about the article that I wrote. But I was at the end of it, I was sort of reflecting on when you're saying, sit there, take a break and reflect. We need to make sure that we are creating lives for ourselves rather than the person that we desperately filled ourselves in with when we didn't know what it was that we wanted or where it was that we wanted to go.
Yeah.
And as great as I think both of us agree, the career service is, when we're talking about that one track narrative, I think there needs to be others. There needs to be a lot more I have no idea what I'm doing next year hoodies as well as PwC hoodies. Just to remind people that this is a thing that happens. It's not that university is for the people that go and get the great grad roles. Mm. University was almost more for the people, from my experience, that have no idea what they want to do.
Yeah.
They have no idea which direction they're pulled in. They have no idea even why they're here in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think if we're not going to present it tomorrow with a university that reminds us that, all we can do is remind ourselves the same.
Mm-hmm.
And all hopefully we can do is talk about it with others. So Dardan, say you find yourselves 3 year into a 4 year aerospace engineering degree, and you don't know what your calling is, as we were saying. How do you sculpt some form of vision for yourself?
I mean, I guess the first step is obviously to try and figure out what you're enjoying the most.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it can be difficult in a degree to find stuff that you really enjoy, because obviously degrees are not meant to be easy. So definitely try and look at what you enjoy. So personally, for example, there are parts of aerospace engineering I don't enjoy as much as the other, and there are parts that I do enjoy. So for myself, I enjoy the aerodynamic side of it. And then I'm looking towards what roles sort of entail aerodynamics. And I guess try and apply it to things that you just enjoy. It's very difficult to try and find a passion, you know, because it almost finds you in a way.
I was going to say, one of the things I've been reflecting on is sort of pursue what pursues you. Because I've found myself at varying stages sort of not finding that calling towards anything. Mm. Whether I look to my degree, in first year in particular, we were learning so many things. Mm. And our lecturers were talking about how many different avenues we could take this. But I was sort of saying, none of them call me. And it found out saying what called me actually didn't necessarily come from engineering. It wiggled its way back into engineering.
Yeah.
But sort of taking what you're saying.
I guess you can't force passion. Yeah. If you think about something you're passionate about, you never think, yeah, I really tried to study this and then I became passionate about it. Obviously, you become more passionate the more you know about it. But that initial spark, I think, has to be completely sort of natural. So for myself, for example, it was Formula One.
Yeah.
So I watched Formula One a lot. I enjoy it very much. And then I realized that links in with aerodynamics quite a lot. And through university and studying aerospace, studying that aerodynamics allowed me to then sort of merge the two now.
Mm.
So if I had to say a passion for myself right now would be to be an aerodynamicist for a Formula One team, which is incredibly competitive. I don't know if I could have chosen anything harder than that. But, you know, if there's something that I know I will almost enjoy the application process for, and I know that, you know, if I go to an interview, I won't go in there thinking, oh my God, I need to cover this and that, and I need to, you know, say I like this. It's when you apply for something that you're passionate about, at least what I'm hoping will happen is that you almost, you know, bounce back to the people that are passionate about what you're passionate about.
Mm.
That instant connection that they realize. And I think I wanted to say this earlier that, you know, that whole facade that you put on during an interview, I think they can see through that very 100%. Easily. And they'd almost 100%. Appreciate more someone who is true to themselves and exposes their flaws than just someone that's, you know, trying to put on a complete show for them. Because I remember for my first interview, I went in there and I tried to stick to the book as much as possible and tick their boxes, and I came out of there thinking, I'm not like that. I don't, you know, I felt like I was, it was a performance, it was an act. So I remember for the next few I was a lot more relaxed, and I think they went better, you know, and you could tell that from their reaction. So when it comes to passion, worrying about it isn't really the best thing to do, because you're worrying about something which is just going to come, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, keep an open mind. That's a very important thing. Keeping an open mind increases your chance of being passionate for something. You know, expose yourself to as many things as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Try things out, you know. But you can't force a passion. And that's, you know, I think you have to be lucky in life, unfortunately, to work in something you're passionate about. As you can see from loads of people that are just unhappy with their job. So if you think, oh, I'm not passionate about this, but you know, I'm working in it, it's not something new. Loads of people in that position. So if you're passionate about something, try and, you know, entail that into your career as much as possible, because it's a luxury.
Maybe it comes down partly to changing perspectives, because we almost expect motivation to precede commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's once you knuckle down and you admit, okay, maybe be it your course or your career or hobbies, this is what I'm going to be doing for the next 1, 2, 3 years. And you come, as you said, open to that. You learn to see the beauty in it. And maybe that will strike chords with you and become a passion
thing. I think what you're saying there, I think I really agree with what you're saying. And I think I think one of the important things with passion, I think, is it ties very closely, I think, to two things. Well, experience and experiences and humility, which I think...
Okay.
First, talking about experiences first, I think when you're at university, actually they tie quite together actually, if you think, you know, 3 years, 4 years university, and if you spend that as a student, somebody who's works very hard, and that's something is, you know, a great accolade, something great to talk about, but if you then reflect on kind of what you've done in that time and really what experiences you've had, with a bit of humility, I think you can realise that, well, actually, I haven't done an awful lot outside of that, because I've really prioritised my studying, which is great, which is one of the things I think, you know, is important to do in university. But I think if you are more open to, as you say, not trying to figure out what is it I want to do, you know, it's like, what do I not want to do? And you therefore are more open to taking on experiences, to seeing your time something that is actually, you have, like, you realize you actually have more time than you do at university. Yeah. And outside of, you know, the library, you're locked up in your room, you're studying. There are so many experiences out there that, because you simply are labeled a student, you have such great access to. And I think over time, then, if you can, you know, think more, take a passion of something that's not necessarily you're going to find, it will find you through being more open to different experiences. Definitely. You can then increase a kind of sense of reflection and awareness of yourself, and, you know, doing experiences like internships, doing work taking on work opportunities, volunteering, and saying, actually, okay, I enjoyed that, but this is what it gave me, but this is what it didn't give me, and this is what I'm still looking for. And I think therefore, like, when it comes to passion, then it's kind of waiting, you know, being more open to those experiences and opportunities available to you. And then, and whether if that takes, you know, years, or unfortunately, sometimes it does take years. It takes certain experiences to really click with you, I think. That then make you think, actually, at this job, I'm not doing it anymore. Or I was totally wrong and I wish I'd done this. And I think some people are not prepared to do that when they at university, when you've gone through working hard every single day, getting this grade, and then you're applying for jobs and you turn around and say, why haven't I got any of these jobs I've applied for?
Yeah.
It's like, do I have the experiences? Yeah. And I think that's an important question.
I think there's an interesting point that resonated with me when you started talking about time and putting the time pressure on things. Because I'd like to touch on it as a later point, but almost expecting that passion to come now and to come today is one of the most damaging things you can do. And actually, I think it's more likely to mean that you're less attuned to realizing, I am quite passionate about this, than if you sort of chilled out and waited patiently for something to come and pursue you. And for me, so I'm quite fortunate. It does pose a whole load of other problems, but I'm quite fortunate in that I have found quite a few things that I'm passionate about. Part of the reason why I'm doing engineering is because I've always sort of been a problem solver. And for me, if engineering is less a scientific exercise and more just becoming attuned to the needs and wants of those around me and learning how to add value in my solutions to those problems. This is engineering.
Yeah.
Everything that I see myself doing is engineering. Like, this platform was produced because a lot of the narratives regarding personal development were very careers-based and they were very academic-based. And I was sort of thinking, there's more personal side to that. I mean, running with that, it turned out to be something that I really do enjoy. Mm. But I think it came down to me being a problem solver, trying to solve the small problems, not thinking, okay, where can I take this? Can I make a career out of that? But trying to solve the smallest problems that presented themselves in the day-to-day. I mean, I think as we go back to sort of collecting data, as you do sift through problems, you'll find ways in which you prefer to do things, ways in which you don't. And Finn, as you were saying, it comes back to that sort of awareness, humility and reflection. Mm. Because after years, and it may take years, and it may be in your late 20s, of solving those small problems and collecting tiny little bites of data, pixels if you want, they do start to create an image.
They do, because you start to learn as well what you're good at, and being able to recognise that you were a problem solver and you're good at that is important. I think, you know, things we were talking before we started recording about, like, you know, how often have you actually asked yourself those questions? And, you know, being, somewhat a British student going to university, who often very privileged in terms of being able to just sort of jump through hoops and get, you know, 18 years old, get into university, be finished by 21 and be ready to, like, and be immediately very employable as such on paper. I think, for me, it helped. I tried to think a bit more about that privilege I had, and to kind of recognise that I've been very lucky to be in this position. So to respond and then feeling like quite a victim in the system, or being like very concerned about, I don't know my passion, I haven't got my next stage, is, I think, can be kind of detrimental to your actual progress in the future. And I think, one of the ways you can prevent that happening is just being a bit more reflective on yourself and your position and what you're where you are in society as such,
and not being afraid to go back on yourself
and
not being afraid to sort of sign up for a 4-year engineering course and in the last term of your 4th year realize none of this is for me. And it doesn't necessarily mean that those last 4 years was a waste. It means you have a really insightful piece of data that you just spent 4 years collecting. And that's nothing but progression, if you want. Because most of the progression I've found in my life has been taking a step too far and regressing. And it's been shutting doors rather than trying to keep all of those doors open. And I think that sort of lends itself to the next topic that I wanted to talk about, and that is sort of finding that career path and not having that career path. Because, like, if I think to speaking to my parents, some of the best days that they have is the days where they have nothing to do, they have no plans. And I've actually, you can tell I'm getting on a bit, but I've been reflecting similar this year, just to have a weekend. I had one last weekend where I had nothing to do, and it's beautiful because there's usually so many things on my agenda. But if you apply that within career context, on the one hand, there can be nothing better than not having a set defined goal with one door open, because it means you can dabble in every trade and you can find what comes calling for you. And I think, as much as it is slightly more stressful, the progression for me from thinking I want to be an engineer to I just want to do what I enjoy has opened up so many more doors that, yes, I do eventually need to find one. But it puts me in much more of a place to be led by passion, to be led by down a path reflective of me and the person I'm becoming, rather than the person I envisaged 4 or 5 years ago. And I think, as much as it is conducive to sort of the existential crisis of its internship period. Should I look for internships other places, or should I look for engineering internships? I'll look for both, and something will come and find me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think that's quite a common way of viewing things.
No, I think, just having listened to that, it made me think about something I came across the other a few months ago, which I thought was really interesting. And it's a kind of response to that argument, which I think you're talking about as well, in terms of that going down one kind of linear path, following the track, and then you can then, you know, by committing all your time to one thing, like having that one door, which is essentially, you know, that kind of main narrative that a lot of people follow. You stick at something and you become the best in it. You keep moving on through the, you know, rapid progression, which I think a lot of people I know, that students generally, I think very privileged students, are in, take that kind of mindset of, I can progress, continue progressing if I just focus on this one thing. But actually, when you have your doors open and you are doing lots of different things that fill your needs in different ways, I think it was something, this term was like slow down multitasking.
Okay.
An idea of seeing it as more of this long-term goal, where you may, you know, be working throughout your 20s on something, and in the background you may every now and then be working on this other project that you have.
Yeah.
And it's not until, by slowing that down, as time goes on, you're able to really use the different, maybe sort of, let's say, like passions you have in different jobs and different experiences to actually be like harmonious to each other, by, you know, having that opportunity to take a break with something and do something else. Because I'm a big, throughout my whole university experience, I struggled to stick to just working, both like for financial reasons. I felt like I needed to get a job to fund me, firstly, but then over time it became like a real part of a necessity for me to be not just doing one thing, but to try to,
couldn't agree more,
to do more, to more, prevent staleness.
Yeah.
It's something that I think, and I think we all as students have definitely experienced it. I've certainly experienced it, and throughout life I think a lot of people experience that staleness where you're doing this one job which you think you need to commit to solely, where I feel like you can expand and have these different doors open still, and to create this process and of multitasking.
What jumped out for me was when you were talking about different things fulfilling different needs.
Because
you have a lot of them, and the chances of one degree or one career fulfilling all of those needs, to the extent that that's the only thing you need to focus on, is almost impossible. Is incredibly slim.
I think it's against the normal flow. Is usually, as time goes on, you know, it's like a cone, more things close. And you want it to be the other way. You always want things to open. And I think it's that progression in life where when you're young, you're opening doors. And now we're getting to the stage where doors are starting to close. And I think the important thing is just to sort of, I think the more detailed a plan is, if you want to really, you know, your plan is very specific, it's more likely to go wrong. That's the problem with it. Whereas when you have something more broad, there's more sort of room for error. So currently, for example, for myself, I find myself on this, just, you know, try and get as good of a grade as you can in university, try and get an internship, and try and get into the big wide world of engineering. And that's fairly limiting, because I don't see myself branching off into creating my own business, for example. But it's not, I want to do as good as possible in one module, and sort of, this is my career and I need this and only this. So it's all about keeping that balance. You don't want something completely broad, because you're just going to end up wandering around not knowing what to do. But you need to be very cautious, I think, when you really set yourself on one thing, because you're probably going to get disappointed, because even through uni, as you learn, things don't turn out the way you expect them to always. No. And that's part of learning and part of life, I guess.
Yeah,
I can relate with a lot of that, because of, I'm a planner, and I like to have a vision and I like to have a direction. And the one thing I've learned and actually harnessed is that things, as you said, Dardan, never turn out that way. And there's a lot of people that have sort of said, therefore, keep all of your options open and don't really plan too much. And I sort of went the opposite way. And again, it comes down to my own personal context, my own like characteristic equation. Religiously, interest is something that I'm inclined to minimize. And just my mum's financial situation growing up means I really don't like debt. So the goal I set myself is to pay off my debts within 4 years, which is ludicrous. Which is absolutely ludicrous. And it was sort of thinking, okay, how do I make that a reality? That I sort of thought, right, it's again ambitious, you said, Dardan, but possible to expect a 30 grand a year starting salary in engineering. So I looked there, and then I looked back to sort of, but what does that sort of say no to? And that was a lot of my passions. So I sort of thought, okay, we'll see how you can take personal, like entrepreneurship and businesses on the side, how you can take this project, how you can take podcasting, which then led to audio narrations forwards. And it was all of those, public speaking was thrown in there. It was all of those things sort of thinking, I want to pay off these debts within 4 years. So I need many possible avenues, career avenues and income avenues. But I also need to be attuned to my passions that opened a whole load of opportunities for me. And the one thing I do know is I'm probably not going to be able to pay off my debts in 4 years, and it's not going to pan out like that. But almost flipping that narrative on its head and saying, actually, no, I'm going to plan things out as specifically as possible, opened up a lot of doors for me. So I think, I don't know, I think there's a balance. It comes down to, as you said at the start, there is a balance. And there's not one sort of prescribed way of doing things for anyone.
I think what stands out with you there is it's like your aims. It's like your, you know, your specific experiences of growing up, which I think is always very important, and particularly for this podcast is about career development. It all comes down to context, the individual context of what you've experienced in life and privileges you may or may not have. But with you, you have that, you've had that experience, which has directed an aim. And I think that's always important in thinking about career development and your own career development, that may allow you to not feel too much pressure in certain ways, or stop you from having this kind of negative stress and try and turn it more into like a positive stress, where you're using it, you're stressed out because you've got this passion behind you that you want to fulfill in the right way, and you want to follow in the right way. And I think, you know, for me, like with debts, I'm kind of on the opposite, because, well, I've gone straight into a master's and taken on a lovely extra 10k debt, which so I know I'm going to be paying for the rest of my life. But it's more, I made that, I know that I'd rather have done, you know, take on that extra 10k and be able to learn more and follow a passion and take more time to think about myself and life in general than racing to maybe sell myself to certain companies that will pay me to get my, to pay off my debts, or to get into that financial stability as such as more.
And I'd say that is probably the last change in the narrative that is my career and where I see it going, because I'll have a lot of debts. It's a 4-year course, so it's likely to be around £70,000 that I need to pay off. And I'm getting to the stage where I was sort of thinking, would the decisions I make pertaining to my career be different if I didn't have that debt to pay off? Because I probably wouldn't have started that sort of tracing back from the goal of paying off my debts in 4 years with get yourself a 30 grand a year engineering job. And what I was talking to you, Dardan, before recording is, which one do I go down? Do I be led entirely by passions and almost take that risk that we were saying we need to calculate, Dardan, and not worry about my debts and be led totally internally, or balance the risk with the assurance, with the someone is going to hand me, hopefully, well, don't have the job yet, but if I get a 30 grand a year job, that consistent salary that will enable me to pay off those debts.
No, I still think it's a question that you know, at our age, we're still debating over,
mm.
you know, there's ways for us to make plenty of money and be miserable, you know.
Yeah.
And there's ways for us to make less money and, you know, enjoy our job. And it's, you know, like I said, it's a question I'm still debating. And I guess it always goes back to balance. Maybe you just want that little Goldilocks zone where you're fairly happy with your job and you're making a good amount of money and that's it for you. But it's difficult because right now we don't have, you know, huge responsibilities with money.
Yeah.
You know, but soon enough when we're having to pay bills and, you know, we got a mortgage or rent,
yeah.
maybe our mindset will be a bit different because for now we're supported through our student loans or whatever. But when you don't have that, it's probably going to be harder to then say, oh, I'll go for my passion, because at the end of the day, you know, you need to make money to live. It's yeah. as simple as that. So, you know, I think, again, combine, if you can combine some passion into your career, it's the perfect situation and definitely what you should aim for.
Definitely. I think it comes then a question of prioritizing and your needs that, say, a passion will give you and your needs that you'll get from a job and what needs you have, like you're talking about, your the more personal life and your finances, what decisions you make, which means that you take on more financial responsibility, and whether then, you know, you're prepared to be able to follow that with follow your passion rather than kind of follow, like, prioritizing just a job that will give you a certain financial stability or such. And I think, unfortunately, I think in a lot of cases with following your passion, I think that financial stability is probably not going to be there, because a lot of them, and I think that's what people are less prepared to do, which is quite sad, really, I think. But unfortunately, it's the way our society is moving, and, you know, which is a whole another podcast, you know. But
tune in next week.
But I think, yeah, it can be quite a difficult decision to make, and depend on who you are as a person, how prepared you are to really commit to something.
Especially as there's, we try to ignore it, but there is almost that illusion of a ticking time bomb,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that the time to take these risks are now.
Yeah.
Before you're paying a mortgage, before you have to support a family, now is the time to make those mistakes, to overexert yourself maybe and go overly ambitious with your career, to start that business and go bankrupt, hopefully not. But it's interesting how much you read into that, and it is balancing up those risks. The final point then I did want to make was on feeling behind in life, which is, it's a podcast in of itself, it's a big topic, but it comes back to sort of me looking, it's literally GCSEs, summer after GCSEs, not having that work experience sorted and sort of thinking, oh damn, this summer's going to be wasted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is something that a lot of people spend the rest of their lifetime almost reflecting. I should have got the internship last year. I shouldn't have taken that gap year. I need to get this graduate job as soon as summer starts. And it's an incredible amount of pressure that we put on ourselves, sort of constantly feeling behind.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, have you guys been aware of that? Have you tackled that in any ways?
I mean, there have been moments where I've felt behind.
Mm-hmm.
Especially coming after first year, I think I didn't take it too seriously. You know, I got my 2-1 at the end of it, and, you know, that was enough to keep me going, you know, sort of internally.
Yeah.
But it was a failure in my eyes because I knew I could have done better. And I guess for me, the only time I'll feel behind in life is when I know I didn't do my best.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, there are lots of factors in life that mean you can be unlucky. And then I don't think your measure of how well you're doing should be with regards to other people, because other people are in completely different situations.
It's an arbitrary measuring stick.
So, you know, if I got a 2-1 and I was sad, someone could have been over the moon with a 2-1. And likewise, you know, for myself, I wasn't happy with it. And it led to an opportunity to improve myself. And in my second year, I'll say I got plus 11% from my first year grade. And right now I'm feeling great because I put in the work and I got rewarded for it. And the best bit about that is I remember talking with my flatmate about this. I said, what happens if I put in all that work and it didn't go as well as it did? And I can honestly say I'd be upset, but I wouldn't feel like I was behind in life because I knew I did everything I could to sort of extract as much out of yourself. So it's important to always, you know, take everything with a pinch of salt. You see someone being very successful, they may have just had really nice circumstances. Maybe I had good circumstances currently. And, you know, if you're in university, I think you always have, you know, within reason, the chance to improve yourself. And that's a luxury which not many people have. So if you're feeling behind in life, you know, the simple things of take care of yourself as much as you can. You know, eat right, sleep right, exercise right. That's just three simple things to immediately improve yourself. And then just...
Does it sort of help allay the behind with your career narrative, though? Because I think that's what's, that's what's paralyzing about this feeling. It's almost as if you have to wait for someone else to give you the opportunity to, quote-unquote, get ahead.
Yeah, it's you know, when you're putting all those CVs out there, it can be just a bit of luck. You know, the person that interviewed you liked you. Or, you know, the role was very rare to open up, but it did, and you were just applying for that role by chance. So, yeah, it's that measure of sort of, it's not arbitrary, like you said. Just try and extract as much of yourself, as much out of yourself as possible. And if you're not, try not to be too critical, because we are by design wired to be lazy, I do believe. Sort of, if there's an easier path, we'll always take it. And that doesn't always lead to the biggest reward, you know. So you do need to push yourself to get those bigger rewards. That's what I believe. So if you're feeling behind, just try and make small changes every day, because this is what I did for my second year. And it just led to this cumulative, you know, the more you improve yourself, the easier it is to then continue to improve yourself. So that's my experience of it, I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with what you said. That's a really good point. And I think it is about trying not to be too critical of yourself and kind of recognizing actually what you have achieved rather than what you're not achieving. And I think when it comes to like feeling behind in life, for me, in terms of like career development, I tried to ask myself, like, why am I feeling behind, and what is it, if it's because I'm comparing myself to somebody else, like, why am I comparing? And if you know, like, is it true to what I'm doing? Is it true to, and if it is, then you can try and work and reflect on improving that and working towards it. But if you find yourself like in that void of just comparing to what everybody else is doing, I think it kind of is regressive. It's not going to ever, you need to recognize that that's a problem that you need to rid yourself of, because otherwise I think you'll constantly be critical of the things you're achieving and where you're going, and your life is, you know, not going to be as linear as other people's, and other people have different circumstances, different experiences in life that means that their life is going one way when yours is going another. And I think if you can own that, the way your life's going, and it can help you with your that sense of how you feel at your at each point in your career and where you think you're going.
I haven't found it necessarily solves the problem.
No.
But what helps me reconcile that sort of feeling is remembering everyone is in the same boat as you. Everyone is looking around, comparing themselves to others. And we only focus on where we compare unfavorably. So the people you're looking at when you feel a bit inadequate, thinking, oh, they're so far ahead, are probably looking around, but also at you. And the tables are always flipped. Because I remember, even, I had to nip it in the bud. I remember someone complimenting me on getting the podcast started. And all I could think about was my friend who got his blog started in first year. And I was sort of like, oh, I should have done it last year. Mm. It would have been better to do it last year. But I think we just need to remember we're only on a path true to ourselves.
Yeah.
And if we are going through life, learning, collecting that data, reflecting, as you said, Finn, we are creating a clearer image of our future.
Mm.
And maybe we'll fill those pixels in, if you want, in a different way to how Dardan will. Maybe he'll get the internship that leads him down his aerospace engineering role before I do.
Yeah.
But that's because he's trying to craft a different picture.
Mm.
That's because his characteristic equation is different, and his goals and priorities are different, and his fortunes may be different.
And I think once, when you recognise that, you can start to prevent yourself from seeing everybody as competitors and see them rather as supporters of yourself, that, you know, of what they can do for you. And I think for me, like, some of, I think of your closest people in your life who help you get through, support you through stuff, I think it's because you naturally see them as that support. You don't see them as somebody who compete with you, like, whether that's within your family, whether that's your best friend, whether that's a partner of yours or something. You see them as somebody who will support you. But we have this kind of like innate, well, I don't know if it's innate, I think it's a lot to do with our university culture and generally our society. We compete, it's always competition.
It's the rat race.
The rat race.
And we're racing everyone else, it seems.
And what someone else is doing. Whereas I think if you can, you can learn a lot from what people are doing. From what, yourself, you know, so what you're doing with this podcast on science degree, you know, Dardan, what you're doing in improving yourself as you go on, like, and reflecting on why, you know, what was different between the years and how you can better your grades. Like, there are things you can ultimately learn from and improve yourself, like, rather than shutting off that opportunity. Because and
I think you're not necessarily to blame if you do measure unfavorably.
Mm.
On the one hand, you sort of are responsible for everything that comes in your life, but one of the things I've been reflecting on a lot recently is you grow, when we're talking about personal growth, into the domain that others create for you.
Mm.
And the same domains aren't necessarily open for everyone at the same time today. So we need not beat ourselves up just because we didn't get that internship now. Mm. We need not beat ourselves up because we don't have as good as a CV today, but opportunities may be around the corner for you. Mm. And in 20 years' time, probably not stressing about the same things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think maybe that's a good place to wrap up the episode. Thank you both, Dardan and Finn, for coming on. You've created the domain for me to grow into career development this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
It's been enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
It's been very enjoyable. That is it from the PD podcast. Tune in next fortnight for an episode on managing the madness, fitting it all in and slowing down. Should you want more, all of our written and audio content is available online at www.pdproject.co.uk. To never miss an article or an episode, subscribe to our fortnightly newsletter or our social media on the handle @PDProjectBF. We invite any student to get involved through our vacancy page, or you can email me directly at pdproject.co.uk@gmail.com. That has been it from Eunice Skeet and the Personal Development Project. Until next fortnight, enjoy the rest of your week. Thank you. It's a different kind of pain. It's a different kind of pain. Crafting your happiness. Crafting your happiness. It's a different kind of pain. It's a different kind of pain. Crafting your happiness. Crafting your happiness. Smiling with a passive brain.